Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano and Tim Wildman, we are kind of cleaning up the mess after the big party last night. Election night. A lot of streamers.
Somebody didn't salt the popcorn this morning here, huh?
Oh, they didn't salt the popcorn.
I think I need to go back
now,
out there.
Now, that's a bad.
I mean, I don't like a lot, but just, you know.
Yeah, you got to have
a little
some.
Bit.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel your pain.
We're on Facebook and YouTube if you want to watch the show. We've got half an hour left or 25 minutes left of today's issues on American Family Radio. We thank you for listening on this Wednesday, post-election day. And Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
I'm doing all right. I've been better, Steve, frankly.
You even look better.
So tell me, Steve.
We all are kind of wiped out.
Do you know anything we don't know in the last half hour?
Well, I do, actually. I have an update. Nothing different that's going to change a whole lot, but I do have an explanation. The Secretary of State in Georgia came out about 15 minutes ago to explain what's going on in that state. Now, keep in mind, there is about a 100,000 vote lead for President Trump in the state of Georgia. Listen to what Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger had to say about 15 minutes ago.
Well, I want everyone to know the sound of my voice that every legal vote in Georgia will count. And right now we have about 200,000 ballots that left to be counted. With the absentee ballot process, counties worked on scanning those as many as they could. And then there are also about 40 to 50,000 early votes that need to be counted. Every legal vote will be counted.
So that's about 290,000 votes left to count of absentee and early votes. And he's got a 100,000 vote lead in Georgia.
Well, it looks good then for the president to hang on there in Georgia.
I don't know. If you believe that the early votes and absentee votes skew Democrat, then that's going to draw that 100,000 vote total down, I would think. Am I misreading that?
You know what? At this point, I don't know. I don't know what's what.
I think it's going to close the gap for Biden in Georgia. Now, whether it'll close it enough to swing the state his way.
It's a 100,000 vote lead?
Yes, right now.
With 200,000 to count?
Almost 300,000 to count.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you're right, Steve. That could. There's a possibility that this hat might disappear.
Oh, that's right.
You made the.
Listen, I would just, at that point.
I can make this. I have to try to make this hat disappear. I'm about to cut it up in pieces, though. I mean, I can't just.
At that point, I would just, what they used to call Welsh on the bet.
Okay.
Okay. I would just say, folks, I know I said it, but I'm not doing it. Okay. It was just an expression.
Right.
I wasn't serious. No amount of hot sauce is going to
allow me to eat this hat.
Well,
as I mentioned earlier, if you didn't hear the show, I said if Biden won Georgia, I would eat my hat because I did not believe that at all. Didn't think there was a chance. I thought Trump would win Georgia 4 to 5 points. But apparently, I was wrong, and Georgia has changed for the reasons we mentioned last hour, namely Atlanta has become the Chicago of the South,
right,
so to speak, where, you know, the Chicago drives politics in Illinois. Atlanta is, and
Atlanta has drawn people from all over the country,
yeah.
And they
it's an international city.
It's an international city, and that means it's going to be more liberal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If Atlanta controls Georgia politically, this is going to be a purple state,
yeah.
Georgia.
Conversely, Ohio looks like it's going to be it's a red state for, I mean, they may have voted for Obama, but in Florida. So if you're a Democrat, you're looking at Florida and Ohio going, wow, are we trending away there, you know, in those particular states?
Yeah, I think Pennsylvania will remain a toss-up state. North Carolina, Georgia, apparently. Those are going to be toss-up states.
Going forward,
but Michigan and Wisconsin are going to be very difficult to. They're battleground states, but they will continue to lean blue for the foreseeable future. Same with Nevada. You've said this before. I think it's accurate. It's going to be very difficult for Republicans to win the White House.
Republicans can do fine in the House of Representatives and in the United States Senate,
yeah,
and in gubernatorial elections. Republicans have done, they've done really well.
And state legislatures.
State legislatures. But a national election, which we only have one, the Republicans, you have to do like Trump did in 16. You have to pull up a royal flush,
right,
to win, because of the reasons we mentioned before with California, Illinois, and
New York
and Massachusetts, for example. Just
all of New England.
Yeah,
Mid-Atlantic states.
The Democrats don't even have to campaign in those states at all.
The only reversal to that trend that I would note, and it's not enough to undo what you guys just said, but for decades, for as long as I can remember doing elections, Ohio was a swing state.
Right.
And it has gone Republican the last couple times, and maybe is now a red state.
It went for Barack Obama, President Obama, in 2008 and 2012.
But both of those times, it was a swing state. He did win them, but it was one of those things they were listing.
All right, let's talk state initiatives.
Let's do.
Go, Steve.
There were five states that voted. Marijuana was, I guess, the big common denominator in a lot of these states. Should we legalize marijuana recreationally? And Arizona, Montana, New Jersey, South Dakota, those four states did vote to legalize recreational marijuana. Mississippi voted for medical marijuana, but if you talk to our Rob Gardner, he says there's not a whole lot of difference. There's not a whole lot of difference between the medical and the recreational. It's easy to go from one to the other. It's a complicated issue here in this state.
Passed by a lot, didn't it? In Mississippi?
67 to 32.
I'm going to say something right now.
For medical marijuana. Go ahead.
I'm going to say something right now that may be a little controversial. I'm going to blame the fact
that
I'm
Thank you for taking the heat off me. Now people can get on to you.
Go ahead, liberal. That's right. My excuse. No, this is not going to be liberal, but you think I'm going to say good. I'm okay with pot. No, that's not where I'm going with this. This is going to be controversial, but I'm blaming it on the fact that I'm mentally tired and maybe I have other mental problems. But here's what I'm going to say. America is partially in trouble. See, I'm already walking it back. America is in trouble because most American voters are low information voters. That's what happened in Mississippi. I guarantee you the majority of people who voted in favor of Marijuana Initiative 65 don't know what they're talking about and don't understand the issue. They simply say, well, people suffering from cancer, they have a right to be pain-free. They don't understand this issue, and these drug, these ballot initiatives are not the only way we know this. I fully expect at some point, if President Trump wins this election by 4 or 5 electoral votes, you will see a push to eliminate the Electoral College. And at this point, most Americans know so little about our history and our Constitution. I could see that passing in a heartbeat. This country's in trouble morally because it's moved away from God. And we have a decadent culture that loves its entertainment. And the people, for the most part, don't have time to understand our own government. And that's why we're in danger of losing it.
I would say, first of all, Ed, I might blame it on the cat of cath care.
Cat of cath care, yeah.
cath care. But I just note that to change the Electoral College would be a constitutional amendment, a federal constitutional amendment.
And they don't know what that is.
Well, they don't know what it is, but it is incredibly hard and unlikely to do.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
That is true, but if it ever reached the process is difficult. But if it ever reached the American voters, I have zero faith in the majority of Americans to vote to preserve the Electoral College because they just don't understand it, and they don't have time to understand it. They have to get to Starbucks and then go and drink a little wine and see some videos and stream some Netflix. They don't care, and I'm a little...
Thank you, Captain Sunshine, for that Delightful observation of our beloved America.
We need not only a religious awakening in this country, which we need that more than anything. Yes. We need a revival in understanding our civic duties, or we're going to lose our republic.
Well, we're doing our part.
Yes, no, that's true.
We're doing our part, and a lot of great organizations are.
You're always so optimistic.
Well. That somebody's got to be Ed.
That kind of optimism
somebody's
makes me sick.
Somebody's got to be Ed. All right,
so I had my soapbox.
Listen, with politics, you never really win and you never really lose. That's what I've found out in America.
Yeah.
Now, that may happen somewhere down the road. Somebody may ultimately win. Somebody may ultimately lose. But the way our country is right now, you're not going to ever completely win or completely. That's why it's on to the next election. I guarantee you, whoever wins, President Trump or Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, whoever wins, when it's declared who won, guess what? A lot of Americans are going to start talking about. Is
2024.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. But we, as you said, Ed, and we proclaim it every day here on American Family Radio. Our job first and foremost is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and promote the Bible and God's truth and Christian the morality that comes from the Scriptures, and we're gonna always do that.
Right.
We're gonna always do that, and we and it's not a credit to us as people; it's a credit to God. But we get letters and emails and phone calls every day from people all over this country who say thank you. Listening to you has changed my life.
Yeah. And I never knew that before. And I never knew that was happening.
That's what they're saying to us. What I'm saying is we're getting the word out to thousands, if not millions of people, hundreds of thousands, well, millions of people annually getting the word out. And so we are changing some hearts and minds. We're leading them to the Lord who changes their heart and changes their mind. Ed, all is not lost. There is hope for tomorrow.
Yes,
and here's
I know you're right.
Yes, so what you said is true, and what I've said is they can both be true at the same time. Steve Jordahl joins us right now, and our folks pray. Our folks,
yes, they do.
They believe in the power of prayer, but they also believe in taking action and doing what we can, doing what we can do. Steve, next topic.
Well, just one last thing on the state initiatives. There is hope everywhere, but maybe in Oregon, where they
People need to sit down for what they're about to hear. It sounds too nutty.
Oregon voters have decided that they want to legalize drugs. Period. Small amounts of heroin, meth, cocaine, any drug you want is now legal in Oregon.
Now, let me make sure I understand this. We talked about this in our story meeting. I forgot to ask this question. Is it legal to possess or just decriminalize? Is it just like a ticket? Or you can, under all circumstances, carry X amount of
My understanding
crystal
meth. Is that you can now possess small amounts.
You know, that ought to attract new business to Oregon.
By the way,
let's go to the state where heroin is legal.
How about moving our business to Oregon? What do you say, guys?
Might start with a small amount of heroin, but believe me, it's probably not going to stay small very long.
And you talk about a boom in business. Small businesses.
Man.
They're going to be providing the drugs. This is crazy.
Yeah. Wow. That's
come on down to
that's way beyond recreational marijuana. You're talking about harder drugs that are going to be. Now, I'm guessing they would say, well, we're decriminalizing them, I guess because it's, quote, a free country. I don't know what exactly a Oregonian would
say.
They're going to say that'll take it out of the hands of the gangs.
Their explanation of it is people shouldn't go to jail for that. They should go get help.
Yeah, it's a criminal justice issue.
I think what they're going to say is if you exceed the amount that you're allowed – you have the choice of going to a addiction counseling and all that kind of thing. So
You got another ballot initiative we might find intriguing?
I do. There's two abortion initiatives, but I also want to get to some exit polling stuff that I brought, which is very interesting as well. But the two abortion, Colorado voted to, they were trying to vote to ban late-term abortions. That initiative failed, so late-term abortions remain legal in Colorado. Louisiana decided that they voted to assert that abortion, the right to an abortion, does not appear in their state constitution. The reason they did that is if by some chance Roe versus Wade is overturned at the federal level, as you know, the issue of abortion goes back to the states, and Louisiana wanted to make sure that it was understood that they will remain a pro-life state should that happen.
That was smart. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Because that they will be set for day one if Roe versus Wade is overturned. They'll be ready.
Yep.
I didn't realize Colorado had gotten that liberal.
Yeah.
Wow. Allowing
late-term abortion.
Allowing late-term abortions, and the majority of Colorado citizens said, we're good with that.
Yeah.
You lived there, Steve. What's
I going? Did. It's decidedly, it depends on where you are. Denver is quite liberal, actually, and it's the largest metro area. The second largest is Colorado Springs, where I was, and we're focused on the family, and a number of other evangelical ministries are located, and it's fairly conservative. So there's a battle going on in that state, and red is kind of taking over and winning out, as we saw in their Senate election, for example.
Yeah.
Cory Gardner.
Yeah. Good for the citizens of Louisiana for standing up for life and the unborn. We laud what they did yesterday in the Bayou State.
We have some exit polling numbers that I think are very interesting. I know we've been talking about the minority vote, and this kind of surprised me. President Trump, I don't think he did quite as well with the black vote as we were all thinking. According to the exit polling, and this is fairly, you know, it's all preliminary because it's only a day old, 12% of African Americans voted for President Trump. However, 32% of Hispanics and 31% of Asians voted for President Trump.
But all three of those numbers are an increase from 2016.
They are. Right? People were talking about 17 to 18 to maybe up to 20% of the black vote for Trump. But let me give you one data point that I thought was fascinating that shows the Hispanic vote. Starr County, Texas, is the most Latino county in the whole United States. It's about 96% Latino. In 2016, 60% of the voters there voted for Hillary Clinton. Only Joe Biden won that state, but with only 5% victory. So they went.
You're talking about the margin of victory?
The margin.
Hillary won by 60%. Is that what you're saying?
Hillary won 60 to something.
Okay.
To 30 to 20 something. Maybe it was even less. But Joe Biden, and I know these numbers, this the way that it's presented here, Joe Biden won 52%, Donald Trump won 47%. 47% of the most Hispanic county in the entire nation. 76% of evangelicals voted for President Trump. I think that's down from 2016 when it was about 80, I thought.
Yeah, 81%, I think.
Rich people? 54% of those who make $100,000 a year or more voted for President Trump. President Trump won the military vote. He got 52% of that. 40% of independents voted for President Trump. And to about the enthusiasm gap, they asked those, were you voting for President Biden or against President Trump? 68% of people who voted for Biden said they did it because they didn't like Trump, not because they were that enthused about Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe Biden better watch his back, politically speaking.
And you know why else he should?
If he wins.
Because according to what we saw last night, Democrat socialists, they got 26 of their 30 endorsed candidates, this is the AOC wing, 26 of their 30 nationally endorsed candidates won last night. So they are really mounting a charge, the Democrat Socialists within the Democratic Party. There is going to be immense pressure.
Yes, but by the same token, the Republicans had a net gain in the House of Representatives last night.
Yes, they won't take the House, but
they narrowed the margin to within, what, 12 to 14 or something like that. It's getting that yesterday damaged Nancy Pelosi, regardless of how the presidential election ends up. She was damaged in her. She doesn't have quite the majority. Now, she'll still have control of the.
You think she'll retire?
Committees, Joe Biden stuff wins? Like that. Huh?
You think if Joe Biden wins the White House, you think Nancy Pelosi...
I have thought for years, you know, why don't these politicians on both sides, why do they stay till their health fails? And they can't... You know what I'm saying? I mean, you see it over and over again, these senators and... Especially senators, they go into their 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can't even hear the person testifying out there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this is why I bring this up, because...
And why do they do that?
Well, I think they just love the lifestyle. And
I agree. And I agree with you.
They love being in Washington and having power and getting the nice seats at the restaurant.
Thank you, Senator.
Yeah.
Mr. Senator.
I think that's just that's just part of it. But Steve's point about the AOC wing of the Democratic Party, 26 of the 30 socialist candidates.
Nationally endorsed Democrat Socialists of America candidates.
Okay, so that means that Nancy Pelosi could face the humiliation of not getting enough votes for Speaker and losing control of the Democratic Party in the House. I'm wondering if she may not just say, okay, Joe Biden, again, this is a what if, folks. Joe Biden won the White House. We maintained the House. I'm going to retire and take my ice cream into the sunset.
I don't see it.
You don't see it?
No, I don't see it. I mean, you would think that may be a person of her age. What is she? How old is, what's her age there?
Is she not like 80?
She's got to be into her 80s. I'm not, let me look.
Okay. Well, Brent Creeley's looking it up.
There you go.
I just don't know why you wouldn't want to say, hey, I've had a good life. I've had a good job. And for all these years, she's 80. It's time, you know, I want to
enjoy life, my grandkids.
My grandchildren, my great-grandchildren.
Yeah, power is, you know, the ultimate, as they say.
But anyway.
I'd be interested to see if she gets the vote.
It sounds like to me you would enjoy a good Nancy Pelosi versus AOC fight. And that's what I'm sensing right there. You would do a pay-per-view right there, what I'm sensing right there.
Yes. Okay. You know, I'd get a nice cheese pizza, a Diet Coke, and sit back. I'd watch that.
You'd pay your $5.99.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
AOC going after Nancy Pelosi.
I think you're looking at a food fight there. Ice cream versus what?
I don't know. I don't know what a socialist
likes.
Hey,
folks, we understand the gravity of the moment, and it's a very serious election. You also can't lose perspective on life, right?
Right.
And your joy for living. So, but we'll see what happens in the next 24 hours, and we'll be here to talk about it tomorrow. You have a good day.